In recent years, we've heard a lot about authenticity and being fully ourselves. That's something the LGBTQIA+ community has fought for since the Stonewall uprisings in 1969. Due to prejudice, moral beliefs, and societal constraints, it takes a lot for someone to come out in the world. And it can be a challenge to share this information with those closest to us, especially family, when you don't know how they will react. Add into that those with more conservative religious beliefs, and the complications build. Today, we share the stories of some mama bears who went through their own struggles balancing their religious beliefs with their love for their LGBTQIA+ children. And we want to hear your stories, questions, and concerns.
Town Square with Ernie Manous is made possible with support from listeners like you. Subscribe to our daily podcast and find episodes at townsquaretalk.org.
Hello, I'm Ernie Manous, and this is Town Square. This June, we recognize Pride Month, a time to celebrate the LGBTQIA+ community. Now, we've all heard many stories where an LGBTQIA+ child comes out to their parents and are sadly berated, disowned, or thrown out because of the way parents process this information and what it says about the child or the family or themselves. The fear of embarrassment or of a stigma, a big part could also be their religious beliefs and faith. But what if a conservative Christian mother can reconcile with her faith and her child's identity and learn to love the child unconditionally? That's the focus of a new documentary, Mama Bears, about a group of mothers whose love for their LGBTQIA+ children has turned them into advocates fighting for their rights. It's set to premiere on Independent Lens on PBS TV8 here in Houston on Tuesday night, June 20th at 9 p.m. Central. It'll also be available to stream on the PBS app. Here with more is Darisha Kai, who is the director and producer of Mama Bears. And if you want to join the conversation, our phone number is 888-486-9677, 888-4-TOWN-SQUARE. Darisha, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I guess we start this conversation with, what was it about this topic that made you want to take the time, and I know how much time it takes to make a documentary, to pull this together and share this story?
Thanks for asking that. You know, this story is so near and dear to my heart. It was kind of a no-brainer. As soon as I learned about the mama bears, I was inspired and interested in learning more about them because I know that the kind of change that they go through from being, you know, raised as evangelical or fundamentalist Christians to becoming allies and advocates for the LGBTQ community is no easy journey. And mm-hmm. So I was inspired to learn more about them from the very beginning.
We're going to have the founder of the Mama Bears on in a little bit on the show, and we'll go into it deeper with them. But I guess I'm curious, from your perspective, getting involved in these communities, getting involved with these individuals, and realizing it's not just that the people that the parents in these stories at the start are not just they don't like gay people. They fundamentally believe, because of their belief system, it is wrong. And so reconciling isn't as easy as accepting something maybe you don't like. It plays against a fundamental belief system.
Exactly. What I learned was that, you know, these are people who believe that this is one of the worst sins that you can commit, to be LGBTQIA+, and this is something that can condemn you to burn in hell for all eternity. And so the stakes are really high for them. Mm-hmm. And I came to understand that a lot of the things, the actions that these parents take, which are extremely harmful, are not done out of hatred. They're done out of love. These people are really trying to save their children. Mm-hmm. In their mind's eye. And so I learned to have more compassion and understanding for where they were coming from.
I think that's the important part, too. We have to understand both sides of it. You don't have to agree with it, but you have to understand it to really be able to tell the story. And obviously, you did a good job at telling the story. Not only are you going to be on Independent Lens, but you also premiered over at South By, didn't you? South By Southwest.
Yes, we premiered last year at South By Southwest, and it was couldn't have been better timing or worse timing, depending on how you frame it, because it was the week after Lieutenant Governor Abbott had issued his directive for Child Protective Services to treat families of trans children who are gender affirming as if well, to open up child abuse cases and to investigate them. So we immediately wound up having a press conference the 2 days after we premiered. So it was, you know, it's been a whirlwind, and it's been, you know, divine timing, I think, because the film is an antidote and a response to that kind of hateful action. But, you know, you just never know. I thought I wanted to come out the year before for Sundance, but it was perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Speaking of Governor Abbott, too, I do want to ask you about, and this wasn't what I planned to talk about, but I'm kind of curious now, as we're hearing about all of these Don't Say Gay laws going on in other states and the different versions of it happening around us so closely, are you concerned about the distribution of this film, or is something like a PBS carrying the film for you, helping to get this message out to places where they're starting to push back against this kind of information?
Well, the PBS premiere is going to take the film into the homes of many people with many different perspectives, which is great, because I think it's going to make it available to people who won't come out to a screening but would watch it at home, maybe, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important. It's a blessing to have this sort of distribution. And then in terms of other distribution, the landscape for documentaries has changed. The distribution of documentaries has changed so much in the past year due to shakeups at Netflix and all the streamers. So it's a different world. It's frankly quite challenging to find distribution these days.
From what I've seen of your film, I think it really is a wonderful opportunity for either those who are facing the coming out process or parents who really strongly disagree with what they're hearing from their children to have a moment to look at it and explore this from a different point of view, or have the child sit down with their parent and say, watch this, see what's going on.
Right, exactly. I think one of the things that happens is if you grow up and live within an evangelical community, you are in a bit of a bubble, and you are only hearing people who agree with you. And you often are told that there are no LGBTQIA people within your circle, within your bubble. But the truth is that we're everywhere. And you just live in an environment where it's not safe to be out and LGBTQIA, right? So you may think you don't know anyone, but you do. And then when it turns out to be your own child, I find that often it's a different conversation when you have skin in the game.
Right.
It's one thing to talk about those people over there in the abstract, but it's another thing when it's your flesh and blood. At least I hope it's another thing, right? One thing I'd like to say about the film is there is a parent in the film who, when we were filming, still believed that homosexuality was a sin. But she thought it was important to be in the film because she wanted the message to be out there that you don't have to agree with your child to love them. Mm-hmm. Your first commandment is to love God and love each other. And so as a parent, that's all you have to do. You don't have to agree with them. You don't even have to understand. But loving them is, you know, what you're supposed to be doing, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, you focus primarily on three subjects. You have Kimberly, you have Sarah, and you have Tammy, two are mothers. Tell me a little bit, I don't want it to go too long, and I know folks will get to see the documentary on the 20th, but give me a little thumbnail of each of these people.
So Sarah Cunningham is someone that people may have seen. She's gone viral twice, once for offering to serve as a stand-in mom at same-sex weddings and once for her free mom hugs. Mm-hmm. And so Sarah has a gay son, his name is Parker, and her story is about learning to accept Parker because every time he tried to come out, she refused to hear it until he turned 21 and she had to listen. So she's one of the moms that we focus on. And then there's Kimberly Shapley, mm-hmm. who people may have seen because she and Kai have been profiled. And there was two Vice episodes dedicated to them. And also I did a short with them that came out in 2018 that won an Emmy and a couple of Webby Awards.
Congratulations.
Thank you. That lives on YouTube. So some people have seen that and maybe seen some of the other media they've done. But Kimberly is, she was a Tea Party Republican and she came a long way in her journey. It was, you know, hard. Because she has a transgender daughter named Kai Shapley. Mm-hmm. And then the third family are Tammy and Tanita, Tammy Terrell Morris and Tanita Lewis Autry. And Tanita is the parent who is still believes, I'm not sure what she believes now, but she did believe at the time that homosexuality was still a sin. And so Tammy is a lesbian, so they're the African American family in the film.
And they're all very interesting stories, and you tell them so wonderfully. And Kimberly, as a matter of fact, was on Houston Matters this morning right here on the station. Folks can hear that over on our website at houstonpublicmedia.org. But there can
be... Well, y'all are covering all the angles.
We're getting it from every angle we can. We're very proud of this film. We're very happy that it's out there, and we hope people can use it as a tool to learn and better understand. And I think that's
exactly
the important thing about
it.
A good documentary. So thank you for doing
it. That's why I made it. Mm-hmm.
I know that there are things in the film that some may consider triggering. Your thoughts for viewing?
Yes, I would say to people, yes, there are some really hard, painful moments in the film to watch. But I am not the type of filmmaker who will ever make a film that will leave you despondent and despairing. There will always be an uplifting message from any film that I make, because I believe that it is important to empower people, and despair does not empower people.
Yeah. As we sit in these times, I kind of addressed this question a little earlier, but I'm going to ask it again. Do you see yourself as kind of a thought warrior out there?
Well, I call myself a love warrior, because I'm really all about love, like making sure that people understand that it is the most important thing. And so that's what I'm trying to convey with this film, is that love is above all else, love, right? And not just familiar love, not just romantic love, but all love, agape love, you know, that universal love.
Yep.
Right. If we can get to that, then we're going to be a better society. We're going to be better humans. We're going to be better Christians. We're just going to be better.
Darisha, thank you so much for talking with us today. And thank you so much for the film.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for all the promotion you're doing for the film. Can I just say one thing that people might want to know? We are raising money to take this film into churches. And so if people are interested in learning more about that, they can go to our website, Mama Bears Doc, D-O-C as in documentary.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Darisha Kai is the director and producer of Mama Bears. Mama Bears premieres on Independent Lens on PBS TV8 in Houston Tuesday night, June 20th at 9 p.m. Central. It's also available to stream, or will be, on the PBS app. Coming up, the founder of The Real Mama Bears, Liz Dyer, joins us with how the group not only supports their own LGBTQIA+ kids, but those who don't have the support of a parent or family member. Plus, our phone lines are open for your stories, comments, and questions. 888-486-9677, 888-4-TOWN-SQUARE. Did you have a child or family member come out to you? What was the experience like? Or did you come out to a family member? What was your takeaway from that experience? Call, share with us, 888-486-9677. This is Town Square on your NPR station, News 88.7. I'm Ernie Manous. We'll be right back. I'm Ernie Manous, and this is Town Square. Before the break, we talked with the director of the new documentary, Mama Bears, which tells the story of mothers whose unconditional love for their LGBTQIA+ kids has turned them into advocates. The film is named after a real group that was formed to provide connection and support to mothers with LGBTQIA+ kids. And with us now is the founder of The Real Mama Bears themselves. It is Liz Dyer. Liz, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me.
And also with us is Dr. Tyson Reuter, who is a licensed clinical psychologist with an interest and expertise in LGBTQIA+ health and anxiety. Dr. Reuter, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me again, Ernie.
Thank you. We also want to hear from you. Do you have a story of your coming out, or of a child or family member who came out to you? How did the experience go? How did you understand it and interpret what you were learning? Did the message ring to you in a way that you could understand and appreciate, or was it difficult for you to accept it and come to terms with it? Share your stories with us right now. Our phone lines are open at 888-486-9677. That's 888-4-TOWN-SQUARE. Or you can email us, talk@townsquaretalk.org. Liz, I want to start with you. Your journey to beginning this group started with a very personal story, correct?
That's right.
Share that with us.
I have a son who came out as gay in 2007. And at that time, we were not affirming. We loved our son. We wanted to do the right thing. We had always been taught that, you know, this was not a healthy way. And so it really made us have to do some research and study and think through things and figure everything out.
I want to stop you here. Hold on for a second. When you use the term a healthy way, it went deeper than that. It went against, if I understand it, your moral beliefs, your systems that you had been taught through your religion and your church, correct?
Well, that's correct. And, you know, as people of faith, we felt that the best way, the most healthy way, the way for our children to be whole and healthy was to follow God's ways. Mm-hmm. And so when our son came out, to be honest with you, everything didn't seem to fit. And that's why we really went on a journey to make sure that we understood what we believed and why we believed it. Mm-hmm. And as we went on that journey, we discovered that things weren't as black and white as had been presented to us, you know, through our church, through our Christian faith community. And so we got to know a lot of LGBTQ people along the way, and we began to understand that LGBTQ people who were embracing what I'm going to call non-affirming theology were experiencing a lot of bad fruit in their life. They were anxious. They were depressed. They were having suicidal ideation. They were having, you know, relational problems. They were isolated. And that really went against what we believed, because we, like I said, we always believed if you followed God's ways, that you would be more healthy and whole. It wouldn't solve all your problems, but it certainly wouldn't result in these things that we were seeing and witnessing as people were wholeheartedly trying to embrace this non-affirming theology.
Dr. Reuter, I'm sure this is not a new story you are hearing here.
Nope, not at all. Tales old as time.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about, though, the concern, the stress, the anxiety that comes not just with coming out, but with being met with this kind of resistance. I would assume, and being gay myself, when the coming out process is always a difficult period, but that the fear of what's going to happen can cause such anxiety, such stress, such worry, that a lot of people choose to not be open, and that that can lead to additional problems. I know there's a whole lot in there. I'll let you take it.
No, absolutely. And what you're getting at is, you know, they call it the minority stress theory, and I won't, you know, bore you too much with it, but part of it is what you're nailing right there, the expectations of rejection, right? And, you know, when you come out, it's never a one-time process. It keeps going, right? If you are a person of color, you present yourself as female, it's right there, right? But it's just something that you can conceal your identity with, which of course has its advantages, but one of the big disadvantages is that it never ends. You always have to keep coming out. And we do know that, you know, LGBTQAI persons are disproportionately affected by a number of mental and physical health issues, you know, from cardiovascular disease to anxiety to depression to suicide. And a lot of that can come from these stressors, such as expectations of rejection and then actually real rejection.
Mm-hmm. Liz, I want to go back to, if you can, and talk to us a little bit about the moment that your son came out to you. Because what I'm curious about is you often hear folks say, well, the parents always know, or they're in denial, but they know. Were you caught off guard? And how did the conversation proceed?
Was I caught off guard? Yes and no. I had actually entertained the thought that my son might be gay. But here's the problem, Ernie. Because I came from a Christian faith community that believed that God didn't make anyone gay, that something would have had to happen to cause someone to be gay, it didn't fit. So if I had a fear that my son was gay, I would think, well, he couldn't be, because I'm sure nothing's happened that would cause that. So there was this disconnect. So I was, and I wasn't surprised. Did I react the way I wish I would have reacted? No. I have a lot of regrets about that moment. I didn't disown my son, but I was not supportive. And I was obviously distraught, and I expressed that, you know, I thought that was wrong and that we needed to do something about it. And the first year to 18 months was very difficult for us after that. We often had arguments. We went through some difficult times. We'd have good days. We'd have bad days. I'm so thankful that my son never wanted to step away from the relationship because I know a lot of parents who have lost relationships with their kids when they made the same mistakes I did. And, you know, I'm happy to say we're in a great place. We healed from all of that. Our whole family is on the same page. It's been a wonderful journey for us in the long run. But one of the reasons I wanted to start the Mama Bears group is to make sure that other parents didn't make the mistakes I made in the beginning.
And I definitely am going to move into the work of the Mama Bears and all of that in a second. I just want our audience to fully understand or to have a feeling of understanding of all of this. When your child, when your son came out to you, and obviously it disrupts your plan in some ways. What are you thinking can be achieved? Do you think it's you just don't understand, and if I tell you no, you'll behave differently? What is the thought process of the I'm telling you I'm gay and you're resisting it? Why? What do you think comes from the resistance? And if I'm articulating it incorrectly, I apologize.
No, but it's a really difficult question to answer because it's so emotional that there's not a lot of logic that is going on in your head. There's so many different emotions, but I would say mostly fear. The main emotion that I experienced, and I believe I hear this from a lot of parents who have kids come out to them when they're initially not affirming, is fear. Fear, the questions that we're really asking is, what does this mean for my child? What does this mean for our family? You know, what are we supposed to do? We don't have answers because we've never experienced this, and we really have not entertained good answers to these questions that are being presented to us now in real life, real time. I guess, you know, as a woman of faith, one thing you're hoping at that moment is that there might be some kind of divine intervention, that God might do something if you're open to that. And so, you know, these are the things that are going through your mind. Here's the thing, Ernie. I think most parents love their children dearly and want to do the right thing. And when we make these mistakes, it's because we don't know better.
I want to remind our audience we're talking with Liz Dyer, who is the founder of the Mama Bears, and psychologist Dr. Tyson Reuter. Dr. Reuter, let me ask you the, and let me give the phone number first, 888-486-9677, 888-4-TOWN-SQUARE. Doctor, when you're hearing this conversation, I want to make sure what we are explaining and that our audience understands is that it's not just one-sided here. It's not the side of the LGBTQIA plus child, but that I want them to understand that these parents are also going through a trauma in this moment, that their world in some ways is being upended, their belief system is being questioned, that there is a stress and anxiety at that end of it too.
Absolutely. And I love what Liz said there is that, you know, where's the playbook for this? Where is the information? What do we do? And, you know, psychologists have, they call it assimilation and accommodation. And again, assimilation is when you take your current data, right? Your current, what's going on, like as a kid coming out, and you try to fit that, right, into your current worldview. And it doesn't fit, right? That's where that fear might come from. That's where that distress comes from. But then there's also something called accommodation. And that's where we change our worldview to fit the current situation, right? The current data. I think that's what a lot, where that growth can happen in love is when families are able to accommodate, right? They change their worldview to fit around the current circumstance.
So Liz, let me ask you, what gives you then in that moment, or I should say after that moment, the drive to say, wait a minute, I need to figure this out? I think oftentimes we hear the stories of these horrible relationships where the parent is steadfast in their anti-belief in what the child is telling them, and it can lead to horrific things, everything from beatings to ostracizing to being thrown out of the house and not being a part of the family anymore. What do you think it was in you that said, I need to learn more? I need to work on this situation.
Well, in some ways I was fortunate. I do have the kind of personality that wants to solve a problem. So I'm a researcher. And also too, I was very experienced at studying scripture and taking historical context and original language into consideration, because I wrote Bible studies and taught those. I led women's ministry. I spoke at Christian women's events. So I had that kind of confidence that I could go to scripture and interpret it well. And so I you know, had these traits and these skills that gave me the confidence to look into it. Now, I will say, initially, when I looked into it, I really felt I was going to find information that would prop up the position I was taking, which that yeah. it was wrong to be gay, and, you know, that wasn't God's design. But it, because I had this experience, it didn't take me long to figure out that these verses in the Bible that have traditionally been used to condemn same-gender relationships did not speak to the questions that my family had. My son wanted to date someone, fall in love, get married, have a family with someone of the same gender. And there was nothing in scripture that I could take to him and say, this, you know, speaks to your situation. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that was a big turning point for me. And that led me down another road of, I've got to get to know people and see how this theology is impacting their life.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel you walked away with this reaffirming your faith?
Yeah. That's one thing that I really like to spread the message of, is that I never had to choose between my faith and my child. Listen, I would say choose your child, but I didn't have to choose. I, in the end, found no conflict between affirming, supporting, wholeheartedly celebrating my LGBTQ child and staying true to my Christian faith. I, in fact, when it was all over, said, and done, I came to the conclusion that it was actually outside of God's will to condemn LGBTQ people or to condemn a same-gender relationship.
On that note, we're going to grab our quick break right now. I'm taking a little early, but I want to grab that so that we can get a little deeper. We've got some great questions coming in over the phone, so I want to get to those. We're talking with Liz Dyer, who is the founder of the group Mama Bears, and Dr. Tyson Reuter, who is a licensed clinical psychologist. Our phone number for your stories, comments, and questions is 888-486-9677, 888-4-TOWN-SQUARE. You can also interact with us and follow us on Twitter using @TownSquareTalk. To ensure you never miss an episode, remember, subscribe to Town Square with Ernie Manoose, the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. This is Town Square on your NPR station, News 88.7. I'm Ernie Manoose. We'll be right back. This is Town Square. I'm Ernie Manoose. On tomorrow's show, it's a Father's Day special edition of our new series, Talk of the Town, where we'll take a look at this week's topics and get a new perspective. We'll discuss everything from Donald Trump's indictment to how we teach history, tolerance and acceptance, to a little summer music. Plus, the two stars of Wicked the Musical will be with us also. That's tomorrow at 3, right here in the Square. You can email your questions to us starting now, talk at townsquaretalk.org. Today, we're talking with Liz Dyer, founder of Mama Bears, a group supporting, educating, empowering the parents of LGBTQIA+ kids and the community, and Dr. Tyson Reuter, who is a licensed clinical psychologist with an interest and expertise in LGBTQIA+ health and anxiety. And our phone lines are open at 888-486-9677, 888-4-TOWN-SQUARE. We'll start off this segment with a call. Giovanni, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Ernie, thanks so much for taking the call. I came out to my parents 4 years ago this coming October at 33 years of age. For context, I was steeped in Southern Baptist small town America. Mm-hmm. Their reactions were as expected. We haven't seriously discussed it since. I've tried to keep them updated on my new life, but we just haven't had much momentum. I'm curious if there's any thoughts on how to break this stalemate of sorts, especially with the folks we love so much. So I'll hang up and listen.
Giovanni, thank you very much for that call. I'll start with Dr. Reuter on this one.
Oh, gosh, that's a tough one. I mean, if it's been 4 years, obviously, if the family and the relationship is important to you, you don't just want to abandon, but just a lot of education and patience and providing, you know, actual facts on, you know, what it means to be gay and how it's not a choice. But that's a difficult one because it's hard to change someone else's opinion and also live authentically. And hopefully Liz can help me out with that one.
We're going to find out right now because, Liz, after you went through the process that you went with your child, you didn't stop there. You became the founder of the group Mama Bears, where you do work to continue to make this experience, these relationships stronger and better. What would you say to Giovanni?
Well, it is very difficult. We all want to have good relationships with our parents. And when parents aren't affirming of LGBTQ kids, no matter what the age, it certainly does put the relationship under a big strain. It does impact it. You can't change someone's mind if they're not open to new information and ideas, but can, you know, keep trying to plant seeds. If he would like to get in touch with me, I have some resources that we could share with parents, especially if they're resistance to being affirming is religious based. My own story, I think, has changed a lot of minds because when it comes down to it, what I concluded was that good theology should produce good fruit. It should produce good psychology. And when it doesn't, then as people of faith, we have a responsibility to reexamine what we believe.
Mm-hmm. Liz, if folks do want to reach out, if Giovanni or any of our listeners do, how do they reach out to the Mama Bears?
Well, you can go to our website, realmamabears.org, and mama is spelled M-A-M-A. And we also have an email where you can send an email to us at mamabearsrock@gmail.com.
I want to say we got an email from Lisa who wrote in and said, your guest said that when her son came out to her, it crossed her mind to hope that God would intervene in some way. God intervened by urging her to study and research, especially through turning again to the Bible. She reached the only conclusion she could. Love, not judgment, is God's will. I would add there are lots of Christians who are LGBTQIA+ allies. Liz, your reaction to Lisa?
She is exactly right. I was the one who was changed in that whole journey. And I'm thankful for that. I have a lot of regrets about the beginning, but I'm so thankful for the way things turned out. And I always say I'm so thankful I have a gay son because of my son, I believe I live and love better than I did before he came out.
Mm-hmm. Our number here is 888-486-9677. That's 888-4-TOWN-SQUARE. David is on the line. David, what's on your mind today?
Thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to remind people, and I think it's good for everyone to remember, that, you know, most parents, from the moment they find out they're going to be parents, dream of what their child's life is going to be. And so when a queer kid comes out to their parent, that parent experiences a loss. They're mourning the loss of the dream of what could be. And it's important to acknowledge that and respect that. But I think it's also equally, if not more important, to look forward to a new dream of dreams of what are to come.
David, thank you very much for that. Dr. Reuter, I'm going to take you on this one.
And,
yeah, what were you going to say?
No, I love that. Just that you make such a good point that it does go both ways, and just that flexibility, right? You have this dream, right? You're zeroed in on. That kind of goes back to my point of the assimilation, accommodation. You have to change the narrative now, right? Your current worldview has to change to fit around this. And how do you find that, you know, together?
So taking everything we've been talking about today, Dr. Reuter, how would you recommend is the most, I guess compassionate is a good word to use here, compassionate way to come out? What is the best way to give you, if you are coming out to a parent or close family member or anyone, what gives you the best odds of having a successful coming out experience? I guess it's not the middle of Thanksgiving dinner when you're in the middle of an argument and you just yell out, yeah, well, you know what? I'm gay. I don't think that gives you what you want.
Probably not what you want. And, you know, get used to it. And just, that's how it's going to be. And, you know, never come out in a car because there's nowhere to go after that. But just, again, this showing that this is who I am, you know, sharing them a little bit about yourself and, just asking that you need that acceptance from them, and that this is who I am, and it's not easy. It's not easy.
Liz, let me ask you then, also from your group, which also works with not just the parents but the children, what do you find are the best ways to do this without being confrontational, or is there not?
Well, first I would say that, you know, I always ask everyone who's going to come out to be thoughtful about it. Make sure that you, you know, are in a good space where you feel like you can be safe and, you know, have people before and after that are going to be there that you know are supportive of you. You know, take care of your own mental health. If you're a minor and your parents aren't affirming, you may want to wait until you're independent to come out. Because, unfortunately, I do know of stories where parents actually punish kids in some way. How to do it? You know, I hate to put a lot of burden on LGBTQIA people and tell them they need to do it a certain way.
Don't worry, in a minute I'm going to switch the question around to the parents, too. So I'm going to get both sides covered.
Good. But I just would say, you know, try to be at a time in your life where you feel supported by other people and you feel like, you know, you've got a good support system, because that gives you a lot of, I think, emotional stability so that you can handle the conversation with, you know, a level head and without getting maybe too upset or angry. And, you know, like was mentioned, you know, be ready to share a little bit of your own story about, you know, how it's been for you, and maybe express, you know, if you want to do what you can to develop a good relationship with your parents and provide them with resources and good information, and that, you know, your hope is that you guys can go to, you know, forward together and see what happens.
And I do want to definitely point out here that not every experience is a bad experience, that there are affirming parents, there are loving parents who automatically are going to be right there with you, and those experiences exist too. And it doesn't mean it's not a loving parent if they're challenged or have a difficult time with it. It's just maybe it's something new to them and we have to have some grace there. Liz, let's take it the other way then. I guarantee you there are people listening to this show right now who have LGBTQIA plus children and don't know it, and this conversation is coming. What advice do you give to them?
Well, the first thing is we need to always let our kids know that we love them unconditionally and nothing is going to change that. I think it's also very important to let our kids know that we're grateful that they are trusting us with this information, that we realize that, you know, this is something very personal about them and it goes to the core of their being, and that it took, you know, a lot of thought, maybe courage, for them to come out to us. And we just really appreciate them, you know, sharing that kind of confidence with us. And then I just encourage parents to let their kids know that, you know, we're proud of them, that they are striving to be their true self, and that we want to do whatever we can to help them be able to live authentically and be as healthy and whole as they can.
Dr. Reuter, hearing what Liz just said, I can't help but think also it should be okay to be able to say, you are my child, I love you, this challenges me and I need some time with it, right. I need to think about it, I need to better understand what this means for you, for us, for the family. That's okay to say, correct?
Absolutely, and I love what Liz was saying too, at starting with, you know, the fact that your kid is coming to you and sharing this part and being so vulnerable, they trust you, right? It shows that they trust you and they have this attachment to you, and it's where that rejection comes in. You know, being in the LGBTQ community, it's one of the few where the people closest to you, the people that you look up to, you have the strong attachment to, can sometimes be the one that reject you. And you thought that they were supports, and that can just be an arrow to the heart. So even if you're still working through things and you have questions, make sure you come across as, like you just said there, I love you no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I'm still figuring some of this out, have to educate myself, but I love you.
Liz, beyond what we've talked about so much and put so much focus on today, the Mama Bears is a wide-ranging group of mamas across this great land of ours, and there's a lot of things you folks do. What do the Mama Bears do?
Well, I started it with one Facebook group in 2014 with about 150 Mama Bears, and today we have more than 37,000 in that one group,
wow.
Which is a lot.
Yeah.
And we have more than 60 chapters, most in the U.S. We have a few in Canada, one in U.K., and one in Australia now. And we also have 8 programs that are, you know, exist to serve the LGBTQ community. And most of those programs are staffed and with volunteers who are moms of LGBTQ kids. And most of what they do would be considered small acts of kindness. We stand in at weddings, we make hospital visits, we have LGBTQ people in our homes during the holidays, we send care packages, we chat on the phone, we meet for coffee. You know, these things sound small, but we know from research and studies that if a person, an LGBTQIA person, just has one supportive adult in their life, that can make all the difference. I hear from LGBTQIA people all the time who tell me that having a mama bear in their life has been life-saving. They actually use those words, saved my life, made all the difference in the world, helped me, you know, have a full life and be able to get out and make friends and live, you know, in a good, happy, healthy way. And so I'm really proud of that work that the Mama Bears is doing.
Mm-hmm. I've also got to ask, in today's current political environment, is it making your work much harder? Are we going, do you feel, the wrong way?
Well, it is a very difficult time. We are, you know, really dealing with a lot of people in the community and a lot of families with LGBTQIA members who are going through really difficult times, feeling a lot of despair. Many people are feeling hopeless. I don't feel hopeless. I mean, I'm very distraught about what's happening, and I'm very realistic about the negative impact that it's having. But I believe that we are going to get on the other side of this, and we are going to win. I saw the same kind of pushback before same-sex marriage became legalized. Red states were all changing their constitutions so that only a man and a woman could be married. I think we're trying to set the transgender population free and get them equal rights and protections now. And so we're getting a lot of pushback from that. And politicians like to use these issues that the majority of people are not well informed about as, you know, political pawns and to you know, instill a lot of fear in people, spread a lot of disinformation. And so we're fighting all of that, but we are also having a lot of wins in the courts. And I believe there are more people that, once they're educated and well-informed, that will be on the right side of this.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Reuter, one thing that Liz said that stands out to me, a lot has stood out to me that she said today, but one thing just now is the fact about how they step in to be that parent for a child who doesn't have that parent. And I'm curious about the significance, the importance of a parental or parental figure in one's life, that support that comes from that, why it's important.
You nailed it, right? You cannot underestimate how important and how powerful it can be. And like what Liz was saying, it can save their life, having one stable, warm, empathic, affirming individual in your life. And that maps 100% onto the research we know with resilience. If you have someone in your life that is supportive and they are consistent and they're affirming, it can have dramatic protective effects over and above all, you know, the negatives that can come across the hostile environment for coming out. And it goes back to the two things, right? We know that LGBTQAI people, a lot of negative associations with health and mental health. However, that relationship goes to zero if you love yourself and you have that family support.
I want to read an email we got. It came in from Austin. Austin says, one thing to also consider is coming out later in life. That's what I did. And it comes along with a lot of grief, not just for parents, but also for our own lost years. I wish people would acknowledge that. Dr. Reuter, your thoughts?
Absolutely. I mean, I can see it coming out, like all the lost time, what my life could have been like, all that counterfactual thinking. Of not living authentically and maybe not being able to live authentically, given if it's a hostile environment, how could you come out? And just kind of grieving that loss, absolutely.
Liz, before we run out of time today, messages that you would want to share with our listening audience right now?
I just hope that everybody who are LGBTQIA allies, everybody who has LGBTQIA people in their life that they love and care about, will use what they have to do something. You know, speak up, show up, act, share good information, get other people educated, be a visible ally. I'm a firm believer there is no such thing as a silent ally. If we are allies, we've got to speak up, we've got to do something. And support organizations that, you know, are really in this fight, ACLU, PFLAG, Human Rights Campaign. These people are all fighting in the courts for this. Organizations like the Trevor Project, and then my organization, Real Mama Bears.
I can't thank you enough for joining us today, Liz, and for sharing your story and being so open with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And also to Dr. Reuter. Liz Dyer is the founder of Mama Bears. You can visit them online at realmamabears.org. And Dr. Tyson Reuter is a licensed clinical psychologist with an interest in experience in LGBTQIA plus health and anxiety. We also want to remind you the documentary Mama Bears. It premieres on Independent Lens on PBS TV8 in Houston Tuesday night, June 20th at 9 p.m. It's also going to be available to stream on the PBS app. It's called Mama Bears. If you missed any of today's show, remember, Town Square, it's available as a daily podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Now, you want to join us back here tomorrow? We're going to do a special Father's Day edition of our new series, Talk of the Town. That's tomorrow at 3 p.m. right here on Town Square. You can always reach us by email, talk@townsquaretalk.org. For Houston Public Media, I'm Ernie Manous. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Town Square with Ernie Manous is a production of Houston Public Media. The opinions expressed by guests and callers do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff, management, or underwriters of this station. Medical opinions should not replace consultation with a medical professional.